This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 5th of February. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, the lovely Jill Serkin.
Hello, and we were in that little break. We've been, scoffing.
Scoffing balls.
Yeah.
Protein balls have been hit in the back of the net. Yeah.
Very healthy, though.
Absolutely. Listen, we've got another fabulous guest to talk to in the second part of the show. We're going to be hearing from Mr. Chris Pollard, who's the interim chief executive of Romney Marsh Resource Centre. And we're going to be talking to Chris shortly. We've got loads of emails and loads more. We've got 59 more tweets actually just come in the last couple of hours. So we've got tweets to read and emails to read and all kinds of things. And do you know what?
I saw Laura Lawrence.
Yeah.
I must get her name right. Sorry, yeah. Laura. I saw her popping up there. But because Christopher was very, very kindly videoing for me, I couldn't answer, but I will answer her later on. But she said hello and she's listening in.
Okay.
And also Peter Allen, the lovely accountant that's down yonder corridor. Hello to him.
I want to tell you about something that's happening in May.
Okay.
And it's the second run in this. It was the first one last year. And it's a fantastic concept and idea. It's the Venues and Events Expo Southeast.
Yeah.
And it's taking place at the Kent Event Centre, which is at the agricultural ground on Detling Hill, Maidstone.
Yeah.
And the Venues and Events Expo is going to be happening on Thursday, the 9th of May, from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's free to attend. It's a massive event, and basically it's hotels, event caterers, software providers, anybody that's working in the events industry and venues will have stands there, corporate stands, there's workshops, there's all kinds of things going on. So it's a one-day exhibition for event professionals, venue finders, PAs, VAs, and business owners who want to connect with amazing venues and great suppliers for events. Whether you're organising a business event, a meeting, a seminar, a conference, a workshop, team building, or a corporate party, you'll find everything you need in one place. We have a variety of talks from industry experts covering mental health and wellbeing, sustainability, social media, speakers and event tech, plus some fun and informative workshops. There'll be over 100 venues and event suppliers from the southeast to meet, and the Venues and Events Expo will give you the inspiration and means to create and organise the meeting or event that you really desire. If you're a venue or supplier to the events industry who doesn't want to miss the opportunity to showcase your brand to hundreds of buyers and event creators meeting face-to-face with them in a buzzing trade show environment, contact us for more details about our exhibition packages. Either way, whether you're a visitor or an exhibitor, if you go to their website, venueseventsexpo.co.uk, you can find out all about it. So that's taking place on Thursday, the 9th of May, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Kent Event Centre.
I'm just, Laura's saying I'll get the hang of her name eventually. Mm-hmm. It's old habits, Laura, old habits die hard. We've got the Tech Expo. This is at the Clive Empson Suite. It's at the Kent Event Centre in Detling, one of my favourite events places there. It's huge. Thursday, the 26th of September, so it's a diary date, 9 till 5 p.m. And it's the first ever of its kind in the southeast of England. A full-day exhibition for business owners who want to connect with suppliers, but they can also, these suppliers can help them run, build and grow their business with the power of technology. So you'll be able to meet 100 suppliers or more from different sectors of technology, including IT, cybersecurity, software, digital marketing and online accountancy. There are going to be 5 fantastic speakers, and you can also take part in 4 interactive workshops. You've got speakers that include Brian Sutton from Microsoft, Richard Bell, who'll be talking about cybersecurity, Ben Abbott, voice, Will Charlesworth, digital law, Dale Carnegie, being human in a digital world. The registration is opening soon, they say, and you can go to techexpouk.com. And they say, don't miss this opportunity to showcase your brand to hundreds of decision makers and meet face-to-face with them in a buzzing trade show environment. So just to recap, it's Thursday, the 26th of September, 9 to 5 at the Event Centre in Detling.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jules. I've got loads of tweets coming in. Natasha of Split Second Events has been going, I'm going to get in touch with Ibiza Fitness Food as I'm always trying new ways to sustain it, but how I can help support others with their mental health and well-being. Really excited to hear more about them on the show and looking forward to trying the food. And she's also said, can I have a shout-out for Chris Pollard, please, for helping me through the early days to get where I am today.
Thank you, Natasha. That's very kind of you.
Yeah.
Well, she's right, though, because, you know, when you... They've done studies in prisons, haven't they? When prisoners are fed a better diet and given fish oils, even.
Are you trying to say Natasha should be in prison?
No.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, health and you are what you eat completely.
Yep.
And I was saying earlier, when I eat fish, for example, I feel completely...
You go swimming.
I feel completely different. Yeah. I get... I feel happy around my gills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you would.
Less scaly.
Yeah, I was going to say, you scale it up, don't you?
And certainly no fishy smell.
Yeah.
Before that comes up.
Yeah.
Do you want me to read anything? Or
well,
you to...
yeah, prepare yourself while I'm reading something, because I want to talk to Chris in a moment.
I do. I really do.
But I want to let you know about the 2019 awards that are coming up. So fairly soon, on Thursday the 14th of March, are the Canterbury Business Awards, and that's taking place at the Broom Park Hotel. And then on the 27th of June is the Maidstone Business Awards. That's at the Mercure Great Danes at Hollingbourne. And then later on in the year, on Wednesday the 28th of November at the Ashford International Hotel, is the Ashford Business Awards. If you want to know more about any of those awards, if you go to kentbusinessawards.co.uk, you can find out all about them.
There's a Women in Business Lunch, which is at the Chilston Park Hotel. It's on the 3rd of April, which is a Wednesday, 11:15 to 2:30. And the speakers are Belinda Collins and Katie Day. And to find out more, go to kentwomeninbusiness.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jules. Help us bridge the gap between schools and business. As business owners and managers, join the Business Bunker radio show, Jobs in Kent and FSB Kent on our 30-30 Free Schools programme to inspire the next generation of talent. Basically, we take up to 30 businesses into a school to meet A-level students to talk about the world of work. Businesses here from people like the apprenticeship service and the guilds and other areas of interest for a business, whilst the students get taught how to present themselves both in CV and dress terms for interview. And then we do some speed networking. It's great fun. It's all totally free. It's only a couple of hours. And the next two events are on the 13th of March at the Hillview School for Girls, which is in Tunbridge, and then on the 28th of March at the Haysbrook School, which is also in Tunbridge. If you'd like to know more about it, find out the details, whatever, it's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/30-30. Do check that out.
I'm just laughing because Chris has somehow taken this really funny photo of me.
Oh, the caption one. Yeah, we're going to have that.
What was I doing?
Yeah, you had something stuck under your nose there,
what
I think.
What was I saying?
Mm.
Yeah, hilarious. I'll get you back on that, Chris.
So you can do one more and then we're going to talk to Chris.
I? Okay, yeah. It's my last one, actually.
Is it?
It's the 7th Annual Business Awards, because I don't shirk on this show, you know. The 7th Annual Business Awards, it's open for entries after a prestigious launch at Hall Place.
Prestigious, was it?
Yeah, prestigious, at Hall Place.
Mm-hmm.
The search is on for Bexley's best businesses after a sparkling launch of the borough's premier awards at historic Hall Place and Gardens. It's the 7th annual Bexley Business Awards in association with Ocado and is now inviting entries after the busy breakfast event, which was on the 31st of January. More than 140 guests came along to hear details of the 12 awards that were updated for 2009, as well as inspirational speeches from political and business leaders in the spectacular Great Hall. The Bexley Business Excellence Awards are free to enter and open to businesses of all sizes and across all sectors in the borough. Entering is simple. You can just register at www.bexleyawards.co.uk and follow the simple online submission process. And you have up to three of any awards that you can enter in categories. With the exception of Business of the Year, the Premier Award is chosen by judges from the shortlist. So there you are. Have a go at that. Enter the bexleyawards.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Jules. Do you know what? I think it's about time we talk to young Chris, don't you?
He's been very patient, really. He's been videoing.
He's been very good, hasn't he?
Eating protein balls.
You've made him work. You've made him eat stuff. Yeah. You've made him do all kinds of things. But now we want to actually hear from him and hear his story.
Yeah.
It's been a long time, surprisingly, since Chris was last on the actual Bunker show. You have been on the Bunker Extra show and some of the other shows we do on this channel. But it's been a long time since he was last on the Bunker show. So it's an absolute pleasure to welcome him back at long last. Chris, welcome.
Thank you very much, Paul. And it is an absolute pleasure, using your terminology, to be back. Because, let's be frank, the three of us in here, this is the old team from years ago.
Yes.
Old being the operative word.
Yes. Well, as I said earlier, I said, you know, that the one thing we do all have in common is we've now got our bus passes.
Exactly, yeah. Where should we go?
Do you know, I can remember the very first time that Miriam came on our show. I think, I can't remember where she came on, Scoff or Bunker. Must have been Bunker. I can remember the very first time she came on. And I'm sure she came on once on St. Patrick's Day, and we all had green hats.
We all had shamrocks banging things.
Maracas?
No.
Not maracas.
No, I can't remember what they call them.
Well, you're shaking Irish. Your hand around. What's not good on radio, is it?
No, it's a hammer thing.
Is that Irish?
Yeah. Shillelagh.
Oh, shillelagh?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And I think we all had to do a little Irish jig.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And we all had 12-leaf clovers or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it was...
Well, that was a few years ago.
That was about 9 years.
Yeah, it was.
No, it was... I'll tell you when it was. It was about 2013.
Gosh.
Yeah.
When the first book was launched.
Yeah.
We had the odd little, porcupine that used to wander in. And,
yes, we did, didn't we?
We did, yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyway, things have moved on.
Yeah.
Although Chris hasn't. He's still on the marsh. He's back. He wasn't then. He had to come to the marsh then. We've moved off the marsh and Chris has moved on. So, Chris, you've got loads of interesting things to talk to us about, but what we want to talk to you about today mostly, and we can do some of the other stuff, is the Romney Resource Centre, which is an organisation that you've been involved with for some time on a voluntary basis. You're now interim chief executive, I understand. Tell us a little bit about Romney Resource Centre, what it is, what it does, how it does it.
Thank you, Paul. Before I come to what the Romney Resource Centre does, can I just share an example of the importance of relationship building?
Mm.
Last week was Storytelling Week.
Mm.
And as we now know in business, now people love to hear a story.
Yep.
Now, you and I met, it took me 3 months to arrange a meeting with you, and it was probably...
That was quick.
Seven or 8 years ago.
That was quick.
We met in the Hilton.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Okay. And then...
Which Hilton?
The Hilton up at Chiltern Hundreds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maidstone Hilton.
And we had a chat, and there was definitely a rapport between each of us that day.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I'm mentioning this is because where I am now, and where my wife, Miriam McGurk, who is a writer, blogger, speaker, and storyteller, is, the Business Bunker and you are a conduit. And I'll tell you why. It was through the Business Bunker that I met Ken Heron.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I sent a tweet to Ken Heron, and this was in the very early days of when Miriam had just published her first book. Ken responded, and we developed the relationship. I did work with Ken for about a year, 18 months. But Ken also introduced Miriam to a lady called Laura Stewart.
Right.
And Laura Stewart is based down in Florida. She has a weekly radio show, and she published a book about 5 years ago called It's All About the Questions.
Mm.
The relationship went a little quiet for a couple of years. Laura had stuff going on in her life. Don't we all?
Mm.
But then last year, actually it was about 18 months ago, we were in contact again, and Miriam was talking about what she was going to be doing, writing her debut novel. Well, she's actually started writing her debut novel. And Laura said, I know of an excellent editor and publisher based in the US that you must speak to. Laura introduced Miriam to the publisher, and all I can say at the moment is that she is now assigned to a US publisher.
Excellent.
Okay. Mm. So that's the first relationship which is still alive, which has come from the Business Bunker.
Mm. Yep.
Okay. Now, the second one is you and I
yep.
over the years.
Yep.
We've done a number of things together. We've been to a number of events together.
I told you not to mention that.
I know you did, but we'll talk about those later. Yeah. But for me, one of the... you never know. The point I want to make is to people that you never know where a relationship is going to lead to.
Absolutely.
And it is so important to nourish relationships. And you and I have always kept in contact, both through business and socially. About 4 years ago, you asked me if I would come down to to Mountfield Road on the Romney Marsh, to a place called the Romney Resource Centre.
Yep.
And at that time, it was the opening of the Romney Marsh Business Centre.
It was, yep.
And I remember I went in there, and what I remember from the day is I remember eating cake with Lisa M. Settle.
Does like cake.
She does. Yeah. And I have a photograph of it. Now, I spoke to a few of the staff, and to be frank with you, Paul, I didn't give it a lot of thought.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting how, you know, things can go full circle.
Absolutely, yeah.
A couple of years later, I was talking to someone, and we started our conversation, which was talking about things in general, and the Romney Resource Centre came into the conversation. And that person said to me, well, would you contact them? They're looking for trustees. This was about 2.5 years ago.
Mm.
So I contacted them. And I was invited to come onto the board just over 2 years ago. Why has the Romney Resource Centre become so important in my life prior to being offered the opportunity to be, interim CEO on a voluntary basis?
I'm glad you asked that, Chris, because I was going to ask you that.
Oh, well, why?
Why has it become important to you?
Well, I'll tell you, it goes back, 50 odd years.
Right.
49 years.
Mm.
I was at boarding school in Kent, a school you know well.
Bethany, I'm there in a couple of weeks,
A school I know well, and of course the school nowadays is nothing as it was in the 60s. I mean, it was a bit like Tom Brown school days in those days.
Mm.
But I disliked it intensely, but my parents sent me there with good reason, because there was clearly something not right with the way I was learning.
Right.
But nobody...
I thought you were going to say there's clearly something not right with me. I've just had a tweet from Natasha with her behind bars, so...
okay, I'll leave that to Jules. Yeah. I knew in my head something was wrong when my 11-plus paper was put down in front of me. Mm. Now, you will remember it. It was turquoise paper, black writing, squiggles and whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at that, and I could not understand what was written on there.
Yeah,
Of course, Mum and Dad, they...
Different generation.
You know, Dad was a very successful GP in Maidstone. Mm. This was the early 60s, about 1965. I took the 11-plus, clearly didn't pass it.
Mm.
And then it was suggested that I should probably take, I think, Common Entrance it was called.
At the age of 13.
Well, I failed that. Luckily, it was a wonderful headmaster at Bethany called Kenneth Pengelly. And I think it was partly because Dad was a doctor. You know, they had a standing in society in those days. Don't nowadays, but they had a different,
You're right.
A bit how they still do in Ireland. Mm. And I was sent to boarding school. But I just couldn't understand what was on the blackboard. I couldn't understand the teachers. Mm. It just didn't make sense to me.
Mm.
But no one picked up in the 5 years that I was there that if you gave me 500 lines to learn for a play, I'd learn it.
Yeah.
Anyway, in 1970, I'd taken all my O-levels, GCSEs nowadays, and I failed them. And I also failed all my CSEs. And Dad didn't know what to do with me. Nobody did. And I went back to school in September 1970, and I was made a prefect. But early in the new year, I had the best bit of advice I've ever been given, and I'm really grateful for it. I was given some careers advice by a deputy headmaster who... Well, he was a bit of a lush, bless him, but I'm sure he's long gone now. And I remember walking into his office, and the bottle was quickly put away in the bottom drawer. And he said, Pollard, what are we going to do with you? And I remember standing there bolt upright. Remember, I'm a prefect, but nevertheless, I was wary. And I remember saying, I have no idea. And he said, well, my advice to you is to go and join the milk marketing board, because it said at least that way you get your own milk float. And that was one of the best bit of advice I've ever been given. Because you know why? Within 2 weeks, I had walked out of the school. I told my father that I had an interview at Harrods and at Selfridges. I had neither because they needed two O-levels. But Dad said to me, go down Oxford Street and go into John Lewis. Mm. And at 2:30 in the afternoon, I walked up to the fifth floor to the personnel department. And there was an old lady there, probably my age now, a bit younger, with grey hair. And she said, I'd like you to take an exam, dear. And I took an exam, and that's the only one I've ever passed.
Really?
Yes.
What was the difference with that exam?
It wasn't difficult. I only had to put my name and address from memory in there and a few other things. It just wasn't.
But from what you're saying, you have dyslexia.
Well, this is the thing, you see. So then I worked at John Lewis for 18 months. I went into the fashion business. There's a lesson here, you see, that you've got to keep moving forward. You have to find a way. And I went into the fashion business. At school, having been bullied and told I was stupid and you know, I was thick and I need to work harder, I carried this into business with me. And although I have been successful personally and financially, I've made money, lost money, making it again, there was always this chip. Is that the right way to put it? There was something on my shoulder which said, I'm different, but I can't work out why I'm different. And I wasn't diagnosed dyslexic till I was 51.
Because they didn't know about it.
No.
Even in the 80s, they were, you know.
They knew about it, because I've spoken to someone recently and they did know about it in the 60s, but it just wasn't out there, you know. Mm. And that's why, coming back to originally what we spoke about, that's why I'm passionate about what we're doing at the Romilly Resource Centre. Education is key to everybody's life.
It's quite interesting, Chris, because I was listening to Roger Daltrey. I don't know whether you heard it. He's just written a book. And his headmaster said to him, Daltrey, you'll never amount to anything, you know. Mm-hmm. And we hear this time and time again, don't we, with celebrities and yes. people who've struggled at school and struggle with the way things are taught.
I don't want to get onto a big soapbox about this because I want to move on and talk to Chris about the work that he's doing now and the passion that he has for it. But if anybody bothered to ever actually go and look at what happens in real world, the vast majority, not all, but the vast majority of successful people actually didn't go through the education system. Or if they did, it was, you know, minuscule. Yeah. You know, Steve Jobs dropped out. Bill Gates dropped out of university, you know.
Branson.
Branson was in prison.
Yeah.
You know, there are just people that are driven, and things like formalized education don't fit into their way of thinking because the answers aren't in the back of a book. In life, the answers can't be found in the back of a book, and there isn't just one answer to anything.
Yeah.
So you have to have this mindset that takes you away from that. But many years ago, like my dad, as you know, my dad was deaf. At age 12, they just said to him, there's no point in you going to school because you can't hear anything, so you might as well go and get a job or something. You know, back in those days, schools didn't handle that kind of issue. You either turned up to learn or you didn't bother to come.
Well, that's why I left school at 14 and a half, because I broke my leg on a horse and there was nothing to educate me at home.
Poor horse.
There was no...
You'd do to it, knee it.
But there was no home education. So I was left for 9 months rotting at home and missed all my GCSEs and everything. So I had a similar thing where... again, you know, you couldn't get jobs because you didn't have the GCSE or the O level, as it was, or a CSE. You know, and I had to blag my way through.
Yeah, Certificate of Secondary Education. Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah, CSEs. I never did CSEs. I never got that far. I did a mock CSE in maths, right?
Oh, do you remember the mocks?
Yeah. I did a mock CSE in maths and I got 6%, right? And I came in the middle of the class.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I got used to the bottom.
Yeah.
But going back to what we were saying, and I take everything, you know, probably I'm an example of you have to keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. You just have to find a way in life. And I've been lucky. You create your own luck, but I've been lucky. But there are thousands of young people, young adults out there who are not academically proficient.
Mm.
But society, I believe,
puts them in boxes.
It's put them in a box and say, sorry, you've got to have a qualification. And that frustrates me.
Well, or you've got to learn this way.
Well, funnily enough, it leads on from what I was saying, because you're absolutely right, Chris. You're absolutely right. The funny thing is back in the day, they just didn't care. if you couldn't hack it, then they just went, oh, clear off and do something else then. Yeah.
Yes.
They didn't hassle you. Now they go, whoa, actually, you can't hack it. You're going to die. Yeah. And then they try to make you hack it. Yeah. So they haven't fixed the problem. Now they're just aware of the problem. Whereas in our day, they just didn't care anyway. If you couldn't do the exams or anything, you just had to go somewhere else.
I agree. In my opinion, there needs to be a more holistic approach to education.
Yeah.
I really do believe that now. Mm. Society has moved on. Mm. We have to be more holistic about our approach, more concerned with people's health and well-being, you know, whatever age they are, whether it's in the workplace or whether it's at school.
But again, I don't want to take away from what you're saying, because it's all part of it. But there were some well-known politicians on Twitter the other day. Some person was saying, oh, the problem with a lot of our kids at school today is we ought to ban mobile phones and tablets in the classroom. I'm going, it's the 21st century. We have a shortage of digital skills. I'd much rather ban education, actually. education is the bad thing, not technology. We don't teach people skills that they need for their,
I agree with you,
their role in society.
My youngest, Shay, when he went to Langton's in Canterbury, and I was so excited because they're supposed to have this great IT thing. I thought, great, it's going to help me solve all my IT problems running a small business. He really didn't learn IT.
No, they teach him Word. Yeah.
It was, he was sort of, you know, no, he didn't.
No.
So no. I was, yeah. We still don't teach.
So sorry to interrupt you, Chris, but you're absolutely right.
This is important. It's all part of the conversation. It comes back to, as I said, why have I taken up the position? Mm. Why am I, as I used the word today, exhilarated, excited by what I'm doing?
Mm.
Well, because of the challenges I had in education, I believe I'm very well placed, and I understand, and I'm well aware of not what it's like to come from a vulnerable background, but more importantly, for young students who, as I said, are not educationally proficient or academically proficient. So what do we do at the Romney Resource Centre? Well, in a nutshell, we provide education and training for all ages, our youngest being 15, and our eldest at the moment, I believe, is on a computer skills course is 82.
Really?
Wow. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And aside from and the idea of the education and training is to provide opportunities to develop skills and for people to gain qualifications if they are relevant.
Mm.
And that may not be a GCSE, but the important thing is that they gain a qualification. It may be a certificate in construction, just something. It could be health and safety, safeguarding, whatever it is.
Mm.
Now, we also have a student program, and the student program is our flagship program.
Mm.
And these are young adults aged 15 to 19 who come from vulnerable, challenged backgrounds.
Mm.
And there's a whole raft of reasons alongside, you know, ADHD, dyspraxia, dyslexia, autism, Asperger's. There's also the familial problems as well, you know. And this program is a program that we have a good from Ofsted. Now, we are a small organisation, but we have a good from Ofsted, and we are very proud of it.
Right.
We're proud of it because, as I said, we're a small organisation, but the delivery of this program is delivered by a passionate and dedicated staff. One of my colleagues on the board, Councillor Carol Waters, says that the Romney Resource Centre is a jewel in the crown.
Wow.
And I agree. But for me, it's the staff who are the jewels in the crown.
Dedication.
Mm. So I was offered the opportunity after 2 years on the board, as of the 1st of January, because our previous CEO stepped aside. I've been working closely, as the board have, but I've been working very closely with Terry Botfield, who's our new chairman, took over as of December from our excellent previous chairman, who was Danny Martin of the Romney Hythe and Dymchurch Railway.
He
runs that. And we've now developed a 3-year strategic plan. And the headline for the strategic plan is that, as we all agree, charity is no longer sustainable in its own right. You have to have a commercial angle to it. So the strategic plan is very simply, in 3 years' time, that 40% of our income will be commercially funded, provided, as opposed to at the moment where it's 92%, 93%, where we have to apply for funding which either comes directly from government or from third parties. So that's the overall strategic plan. And to follow that through for us and deliver that, we have taken on a new head of strategy. His name is Sam Bennett. He was previously with Sunlight in Gillingham. And Sam set up a commercial aspect to Sunlight. He set up a cafe. He's an extremely experienced young man, and he understands how to apply for funding and grants online.
Can you just explain to me and the listener of Sunlight what it is?
Well, Sunlight, to be frank with you, I can't give you the ins and outs. So Sunlight is a charity based in Medway.
Okay.
And he'll probably shoot me because I don't have the notes here. But
don't worry.
But he set up a cafe there.
Okay.
And what I like, one of the many things we like about him is he has a commercial mind.
Right.
And that's what we need, because although Terry and I have, business experience, we have commercial minds. My role is to take a helicopter view of the whole organisation and then to work closely with an active board. And we have an excellent board. They are experienced.
Maybe there's room for a hub in Sunlight.
Well, we actually have a cafe, but you never know.
No. Exactly.
Because I want to talk to our previous guest,
Josh.
Josh from Ibiza Fitness Food. And what a brilliant concept, because I want to see if there's the opportunity going forward for some of our students or anybody, customers that come to us, because we do offer information guidance as alongside the training and education. And there may be the opportunity for someone to gain skills within Josh's business.
Yeah, he's always more than happy to have work experience there. He's had some from East Kent College.
Well, I think it's a great concept. So how are we going to develop the commercial aspect of our business? Well, Paul, you and I have discussed this recently.
We had
a meeting with Terry as well. In my early days in the fashion business, back in the mid-70s, I was given a bag of samples to go out with and hopefully sell something from said bag to one of my customers.
Oh, I now know why we had the Kinks dedicated follower of fashion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, two things I learned from there. One thing about being a salesman is, well, actually, there's three things. One thing about a salesman, you can have the biggest bag in the world of samples, but just because you've got a lot of samples doesn't mean you're going to sell anything.
Yeah.
Number two, the important thing about point about listening. And number three, asking questions. Mm. And I learned very quickly that if I didn't have a sample or something that someone wanted to buy in my bag, I had to listen. I had to ask the question, what would you like? What can we design for you? So how am I going to use that here? Well, what we're going to do is very simply, at the moment with charities, in the main, it's hand out, what can you give me? What we would like, what we are going to do, and we're starting already, we're going to go to businesses. We're going to go to businesses primarily because of the area, but although we want to cover the whole of Kent, I mean, I have this dream that in another year, once our video and podcasting centre is opened up, that we will be providing webinars UK-wide. It doesn't just have to be locally on the Marsh. It doesn't just have to be Kent, of the services that we can provide. But we are going to go out to business in the agriculture sector, construction, social care and leisure and tourism.
Wow, really diverse. Right.
Yes, and we are going to be going to them and saying, okay, not this is what we do, but what skills do your workers need to have? And if they haven't got the skills, how can we provide those skills for the people who can potentially work for you?
Yeah.
And develop a collaboration. Now, it may be in some cases that we actually go to someone and say, well, look, actually, we don't want any money for that. Let's try and develop. I want to develop business buddies.
Okay. Right.
So we work together. As I'm sure we'll all agree, business is not just about money. It's not just about what you can give me. It's what can we give you? And I believe by taking that approach that we will focus on developing relationships and and just what can we give you? Mm-hmm. What can we do for you?
Mm. Absolutely.
So,
Just while you're having a pause there, I'll just, because Jules asked a question, the Sunlight Centre in Gillingham, I've just looked it up.
Have you Googled it?
I Googled it. Oh. They're a community and wellbeing organisation. They're a charity that looks after wellbeing in the community.
Sounds excellent, because I was wondering, you know, the name Sunlight, I'm thinking, is it for homeless or is it, you know, so that's great. So thank you. So it gives them a safe place to go where they can eat, drink and mingle as well, I would think.
Which is
anyway, back to Chris. Let's go back to Chris with his business buddies and all the things he's doing, because it's really interesting and I want to hear more about this because I think it's a clever idea.
Mm. Thank you. Mm. Well, one way we are going to connect with the four areas that I've spoken about is I had a meeting yesterday with a PR and communications company. It's Liz White from Think Wild Media, who I've worked with for a number of years. And we were talking, and what Liz is... a few points that Liz shared with us, which may help other businesses, actually. Education and training, it can sound a bit boring.
Hmm.
So how are we going to attract people? How are we going to encourage people to respond on social media and that they have this feeling, actually, we want to be there. So we've got to ask the question, what do they want to hear? So initially, what we're going to do is we're going to find five key questions to go and ask each industry.
Mm.
And then we're going to develop it from there. When you and I were talking, we had our meeting, we looked at five bubbles. If you think of the centre bubble being the client, so our students or customers, if you go top left to 11 o'clock, you've got the employee, employer.
Yeah.
You go to the top right, you've got industry groups. You go bottom left, you've got the provider, Romney Resource Centre, and then the bottom right, you've got the funders. Now bring those all together for the customer. I don't believe it's rocket science. I just don't believe it's been thought about in this way.
Mm, sure.
And I believe in order for us to survive, that's what we have to do.
Mm.
We have to change our mindset. We have to work how business is working and not think. Although we are a charitable organisation, we have to adjust the mindset and put the charitable mindset to the left or to the right and make the business approach our central approach. So I think that's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be very interesting. And I'm interested in hearing from businesses, whatever size your business is, how can we help you?
Mm.
How can we help you provide the skills or provide the people that have the skills that you need in your business?
Absolutely. And one of the things I love that you're doing now is these training workshops and training courses.
Yes.
With things like health, food hygiene certificates and
health and safety.
Health and safety.
CSC for construction.
Yeah.
And there's probably and they're going to be more because, if you know, if we're not doing them, then I want businesses to say, well, actually, this is what we need.
Exactly.
You know, this is what we need.
But it's like, you know, sometimes I'll call a restaurant and the person answering hasn't even got the faintest idea of telephone communication skills. And you know, before you before you know about it, you're thinking, I don't really want to eat here, you know. And so all these skills, you know, if you haven't learned it from your parents or you know, then they need it.
I agree. I mean, and this is something that we will teach on our student program, apart from the educational aspect of it,
practical stuff.
Communication skills, simple things. How to get on a bus.
Eye contact.
What do you say when you get on a bus? What do you get on a train? Yes, eye contact.
Yeah.
Absolutely crucial. All these soft skills, which it doesn't matter whether you've got a qualification or not. For me, one of the most important things is being able to talk, is being able to communicate.
Yeah.
Because as we all know, unless you're going to be a doctor, an architect, a solicitor, of course you're going to need... you need qualification for those. But I believe there are so many businesses out there, there are so many jobs where if a young adult can be taught, trained, coached how to communicate, the employer will see that, okay, they can communicate.
Yeah.
We'll train you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's rocket science. Do you agree, Paul?
I agree absolutely 100% and totally. It's about attitude. It's about fostering the right kind of ethic, and then businesses will train you in. I mean, even people that get vocational educational qualifications, when they start work, they have to start work at the bottom because they know nothing about the industry, because everything they've got is the theory. Mm. It's not practice.
Right.
So, you know, and one of the things we've done is we've told our young people a couple of myths and a couple of untruths. We keep telling them they're going to earn tons of money in return for spending 60K on a degree education.
Correct.
They're not. And then, of course, they expect...
Well, they're going to have to pay that off at 6% for
Yeah,
start.
But it's not only that. It's the fact that they're not going to get a top job when they come out with their qualification either. You know, a lot of people now think, well, I'm going to walk into some middle management job. They're not. They're going to start at the bottom, and they're going to start making coffee and sweeping the floors.
This is one of the... This is another area where we provide guidance on, and we will help. Mm. I mean, on our student program, but people in... in general, I mean, if someone's lost a job, come to us.
Yep.
We'll help you upskill. We will, if you haven't had a work before, we will find you some work. We will do our best to find you work experience. Mm. We will do our best to find you an apprenticeship. Apprenticeships, thank God that they seem to be coming back into mainstream now, because logic says to me, with the way society is nowadays, with the cost to live, just to live, surely it is far more sensible to, if you had the opportunity of an apprenticeship, take that, because you're learning on the job.
Learn a trade and getting paid for it.
And if you've got the right kind of apprenticeship, you can actually get a degree as well.
Absolutely. And that's another area that we cover as well at the Romney Resource Centre. Now, we've got three units.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our Unit 3, which is our teaching area unit, and then we have Unit 4, which is our admin centre and teaching, and then we have the Romney Marsh Business Centre. But that, we have four hot desks there, but we've actually, we had a whole room which was full of hot desks, but we've now opened a second room for training.
Right.
So a number of companies are using this now for training. Yes. And then we have the main room, the conference centre, where we had the opportunity to put that into three different layouts.
Right.
Plus we have our cafe, which can provide food, but that's an addition. But what we're looking at is opening there a video and podcasting centre, and we are in conversation.
Okay.
Yeah, we're in conversation with somebody at the moment to do a collaboration because... This is an opportunity that I hope that businesses will use because they can come in, we will have the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have the room, they may want a green screen.
Yeah.
Right, okay,
And they can come in there and they can do whatever they need to do.
And green screens are not cheap,
we've got
one, and so it would be a brilliant facility to have.
I believe so.
For small businesses that, would need that.
And I also believe that we start doing live webinars from there as well, and they're on video.
Yeah.
I definitely think that's the way forward. I think we have tremendous skills and services that we can provide, and some of these can be provided over the internet.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
to other
they
parts
can.
Of the country.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Look, Chris, I mean, this is fantastic. We really are massively in support of what you're doing here, because a lot of people don't realise because the way the job market is in the UK now, we have intrinsically have full employment. But there are areas in the southeast of England, and Romney Marsh being one of them, where we have endemic unemployment.
Yes, generational.
For all kinds of reasons, and not least of which, there's virtually no public transport off the marsh.
Yeah.
Well, this is another issue, because the Ashford outlet, is extending, and I believe they're going to need a few hundred jobs there, hundred jobs.
Yeah.
I want to look at how we could possibly, well, we are looking at the moment, how we could possibly provide the skills.
Mm.
And also, more importantly, how on earth are we going to bus people?
Mm.
From Romney Marsh over to Ashford in the morning and back again.
Yeah.
It's ludicrous to me what's happened with our buses
it and is.
How they're just cutting services because we've become so
reliant on the car,
but there are thousands of people out there, older people, whatever generation.
Exactly.
But without getting on a soapbox and having yet another rant.
Would you?
But our politicians are busily trying to stop people using their cars by taking away car parks or charging through the nose for them, but they haven't provided public transport to replace it.
Exactly.
And that's the whole reason that everyone's going to go everywhere by car is because there is no alternative in a rural area. Because they all live in London, they go, well, get a tube.
I think one of the issues I see is this move towards franchises, as we have on the railway system, as we have on the buses. Now, I'm all for the capitalist approach to making money. But I do believe there are certain areas in our society where we have to step back. And it's a bit like education.
Yeah.
We need to take a more holistic view. And finance has got to come somewhere. Finance has got to be provided. Or the bus company's got to be given a longer franchise, or a certain percentage of their turnover has got to include that they will provide transport to areas, key areas, where it is needed and where people just do not have the option to go by car.
Yeah. Or thinking about the Ashford outlet,
in Kent,
they should be having to provide something for workers, perhaps. You
know? Well, they probably will do. I mean, there's just an initial discussion going on. There is one other thing that I would like. I have an ask to anybody listening and to businesses in Kent, please.
We like an ask.
Now, I said that we are not taking the normal charitable approach. But on this, just this one little point, we have a new website, we have a new logo, we have a new website, and we have a new supporters page. Now, I think we can all agree that education is key. But in order for us to keep doing the good work we're doing and to expand and to be looking into the future, I'm asking 100 businesses, an initial 100 businesses in Kent, please, will you pay £10 a month to us, and we will provide you with a page on our website. You will have a logo and a link. And then, more importantly, let's see what else we can do to help you. Because by you contacting us, there are so many businesses out there, and I have learned that within 5 miles radius of the Romney Resource Centre, there are businesses around, they've never heard of us. So I'm asking, please, will you help us? Please, will you support us? But not only that, then tell us what you need in return.
Right.
Because it's not just about the £10. This is about developing relationships. And I believe there are huge opportunities for us as a business and huge opportunities for businesses if we can just get together and actually action collaboration, not just speak about it.
Absolutely. Look, Chris, we're fast running out of time, unfortunately, and there's so many more things we could talk about. But for the moment, thanks for that. Can you give us a shout out for how people can find out more about the Romney Resource Centre, business buddies, the training courses that you do, this £10 support club, I think it's called Supporters Pledge. How can I find out about all of that?
Thank you, Paul. Right. We are on the Twitter at Romney Resource. Facebook, we are Romney Resource Centre. Gosh, dreadful, isn't it? I think, yes, Romney Resource.
Yeah.
And our email address, well, you can contact me, actually. I am chris@romney-resource.co.uk.
Fantastic.
That's chris@romney-resource.co.uk.
And it will be a pleasure to meet you. You know, just contact us and let's start a conversation and let's see how we can work together.
And there's a link to all of that on the Kent Business Radio website as well, and that will remain there. So if you want to find out, if you didn't write that down, if you go to the Kent Business Radio website for show 413, which is today's show, all the contact details will be there and they will remain there. For the moment, Chris, thank you so much for that. It's a pleasure to hear from you about the fantastic work that you're doing. We're almost at the end of the show and I need to tell you two things. I've had a tweet from Headspace Coaching and they say, it's a great show. We've tuned in, but please can we have a shout out for Headspace Coaching Limited, offering personnel and business coaching across Kent. For further info, follow us on the Twitter, Headspace Coach #1. That's the #1. Or headspacecoaching.org is their website. So do check that out. I'd also need to tell you about our sister show, which is the Business Bunker Extra Show, presented by the lovely Amanda Flanders, and it's on 11 a.m. on Friday. And this week, the co-host is Julie Daniel, the chic stylist, and her guests, their guests on the Bunker Extra Show this week are Tony and Bev Burke from Chips and Dinks. So that's 11 o'clock on Friday, the Business Bunker Extra Show. Do tune into that. We're kind of almost at the end of the show now. Have you got anything you need to get in at the last minute there, Jules?
I don't really, because I've read all my things and my phone's gone blank, my battery.
Your battery's flat.
My battery's the bane of the life, because I've been videoing, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they do go down very quickly. Yeah.
Well, I'm in the territory of heart palpitations with my... because I never let my phone go this low, but I'm on 13%, and I didn't know my phone went that low.
Well, you know, there's the one thing about Apple, isn't it, that they're losing money now, and they've become quite unpopular because of what they're doing with these batteries and things. I'm on an 8 plus. What have you got, an 8 plus?
7 plus.
I'm still on a 4.5-year-old 6.
Are you? Well, 'cause how's your battery, Chris?
Well, pretty good, thanks.
Looks
very
pretty
much.
Pretty perky for where I am.
Just one last tweet I'm going to read. We got a few more, but I haven't got time to read them. It's from Athelbray, and they go, oh my god, we're going to have to do the listen again this week. One of these days we'll hear the whole show live. Hope it's going well and you're all behaving. So thank you for
behaving.
That yeah,
for once.
Yeah,
for once.
But I want to say a big thank you to today's show guest, Mr. Josh Robson of Ibiza Fitness Food, Mr. Chris Pollard of the Romney Resource Centre, my co-host, the lovely Jill Serkin. We'll be back with you next week for another Business Bunker show. In the meantime, have a fabulous week, everybody. See you all soon, and bye for now.
Goodbye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.